Ahead of the International Human Rights Day, we turn to an important diplomatic engagement taking place here in South Sudan. The United Kingdom's Ambassador for Human Rights and Deputy Permanent Representative to the United Nations in Geneva, Eleanor Sanders, is in the country for a three-day visit aimed at reaffirming the UK's commitment to promoting and protecting human rights in South Sudan.
Ambassador Sanders is accompanied by Jacqueline Asioa, a respected South Sudanese human rights defender known for her work on peace building, justice and women's rights. To learn more about this visit, its purpose and what it means for the human rights landscape in the country, we are joined by the two in the studio, Ambassador Ellen Sanders and Jacqueline Nasua. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Right. Welcome. Yes, and just to begin with the ambassador, for the listeners who may not know you, could you just briefly introduce yourself and explain the purpose of your visit to South Sudan?
Sure. My name is Eleanor Sanders, as you said, and my role is a slightly unusual one. I'm ambassador for human rights. Normally, of course, we have ambassadors to countries, but as the UK, we have a small number of ambassadors to issues that we care a lot about, and we care a huge amount about human rights around the world. So my job is to talk to people, to countries, everywhere in the world, particularly where we have interests in common, places that we care about, to discuss some of our shared challenges and how we need to work on human rights. And that's what I've been doing in South Sudan.
Right.
South Sudan, of course, is a country of huge importance to the UK. And we're conscious that there's a conversation to be had here. There's a lot to talk about on human rights. So that's what I've been doing with the government, with civil society, with the UN and others.
Right. And we'll come back to find out how the meetings have gone and if there's been any sticking issues for you. But Jacqueline, you're a common voice on The Breakfast Show. We always thank you for making out time to speak to us. You spent years advocating for human rights in South Sudan. What does this joint visit mean to you and to the local human rights actors?
Thank you, Irene Lasu, and good morning to all South Sudanese and Miraya listeners. Thank you, Elena, for the solidarity visit to South Sudan and on pertinent issues to us as human rights defenders and also as a people who have struggled to have their rights for the decades, like more than at least when I was born.
Right.
We have been struggling for dignity, we have been struggling for our rights, and we have been struggling for liberty. So for me, the visit of Elena is very important. And it comes at a time when our rights are still not realized as a country and as a people. And I always say we have liberated ourselves, we got our independence as a country, but the people's dignity is still not free. And this is where the second liberation is,
right,
where we want all South Sudanese to have their rights respected, to have their dignity restored, and also for women especially to be recognized as human rights, people with fundamental freedoms, and we always say women's rights are human rights.
Right.
So Elena, also being an ambassador and a woman representing UK in the global stage for human rights, means a lot for us as women.
Yeah. Well, Ambassador, human rights are at the center of your work. Why are human rights so important, particularly in the context of South Sudan?
Human rights are important to everyone around the world. But as you all know very well, and as Jacqueline has just described, there are a lot of human rights-related challenges in South Sudan at the moment. What we've been saying, what I've been saying to the government here, is the first step, the only real credible step, is to get back to the ceasefire. We want a ceasefire and dialogue, and other things flow from that. All of the progress on human rights that South Sudan needs to make will flow from that. So that's been the focus. And then we've been talking about some of the routes to peace, justice and reconciliation in communities, which provide the basis, the foundations for full enjoyment of everyone's human rights.
Right. Thank you. And Jacqueline, from your perspective, I mean, you've described so much and how lacking human rights are in South Sudan and how we have a country, but we still have to re-liberate ourselves. From your perspective, what are the most urgent human rights challenges that the communities are facing right now?
I could say that in terms of human rights, there are a lot of challenges, because we believe human rights is inherent and our lives depend on human rights. We are having issues of conflict-related sexual violence and gender-based violence. And you know, Irene, we are on the 16 days of activism. and still we're even having and witnessing a lot of gender-based violence on women during this fragile context and also even in our society. The other one is the violations of the right to life. You know, with the ceasefire being violated, with fighting going on, including communal violence, and violence by the peace partners, a lot of lives have been lost. And for this year, we didn't expect that we can still go back into crisis and conflict. But we have witnessed it in Nasir. We have witnessed it in parts of Tonj. We have witnessed it in Western Equatoria, in Yei. Name them.
Right.
And in all this, lives are lost. And these are not lives of maybe ordinary, I could say like extraordinary people in our society, but these are lives of the common civilians.
Right.
Women, children, and the elderly. And there's no accountability for it. So this is also one of the big issues. The other issue is the closing civic space. You know, we have a Bill of Rights that has provisions for freedom of media freedom. We have freedom of association, freedom of assembly, and freedom of expression.
Right.
So all this in our context is not even being applied. And you'll find that the civic and the political space has shrunk, where even you need to have permission, you know, to exercise your fundamental freedoms to talk and maybe to assemble.
Right.
And this cannot help us to move forward. And as Ambassador Elena said, we need dialogue, and also we need to be able to talk and tolerate each other. Tolerance of opinion is not weakness,
right,
but it's moving us forward.
Thank you.
All right. Let me get back to you, Ambassador. Now, during your visit, you met with members of the civil society. What did they share with you about the current human rights situation, and what are their priorities on ground?
Well, very similar to what Jacqueline has just outlined, actually, and I'm so glad to have had the opportunity to talk to so many impressive civil society activists. I think this theme around freedom of expression and potential harassment pressure on journalists is a very real one. And, you know, the government members of the government are talking about heading towards elections. But if you're going to have credible elections, you need to have that healthy, pluralistic debate. You need to have the space for people to think about different options and to form their views on the different political parties rather than being told what to think. So it's not just about preparation for elections, isn't just about the administrative steps that need to be taken. But as Jacqueline has said, a lot of civil society activists are also very focused on these issues around justice and accountability. South Sudan has been through so much in the last few years, and there has to be some kind of justice, accountability, the kind of a reckoning, essentially, to promote genuine reconciliation in society. So that's another big theme. And in the current context, that isn't really happening. But what I would say to the people of South Sudan is don't give up on that, because change will come. It may be slow and it may be tough, but change always happens. A lot of countries have been through this, including us in the UK. We've had our own similar journeys sort of in Northern Ireland a few decades ago. And change does come eventually, but it does take some patience.
Right.
And then another theme that Jacqueline's also alluded to is around women and girls, which is a theme that's hugely important to us as well. I was lucky enough yesterday to go and spend some time at the Women and Girls Friendly Space at Gouray, where I heard from women and girls about what their lives are like and what this space provides for them. But that also gave me hope, actually, because they described how change is starting to happen, particularly at home. They described, for example, how gradually, by discussing their issues, there is more equality within their families. Their fathers, their uncles, their brothers are starting to doubt the merits of early or forced marriage. Again, it's slow.
Right.
But change does happen, and meaningful change always starts at that small, local, even home level.
Right. Thank you so much. Change will definitely come. Nasiwa, women, speaking about women and girls being one of the vulnerable groups, and they continue to face serious rights, as you heard from the ambassador. And we thank goodness for that space that they share in Gouray. So what are some of the efforts that are being made to improve their protection?
Yeah, we have various activities that we undertake. One is to support survivors of gender-based violence. We have the Survivors Network of South Sudan, which is one of the largest network of survivors of sexual violence in conflict, and also victims of other violations. And this Survivors Network, we empower them with different programs, which include the legal awareness session. It includes referral pathways, psychosocial support through community support systems, where we empower survivors to be peers to their own communities in terms of psychosocial support. And then we also support the children born out of rape with school fees, where we have at least 60 children born out of rape currently benefiting. And then we also have income-generating activities to the survivors, so that they can start rebuilding their lives, and most of them are in the market or doing agriculture. We do a lot of national advocacy, and this is where we have the annual convenings, where we bring survivors and policymakers to discuss the challenges and see how survivors can be central in decision-making processes. We have also the legal support to survivors, and this is where also we have challenge. Documentation is a big issue for the survivors, and you can go to the police, to the court, without some of the supporting documentation, they don't consider it. So technical issues are the ones that affect the legal processes from moving forward. And above all, also at the community level, even there are no justice institutions, and also medical services to the survivors. So the referral pathway is there, but also it has some challenges. And finally, we also do support to the transitional justice process, which is currently going on in terms of the legislation and ensuring also it's survivor-centered. So all this we do in line with some of the civil society colleagues. And above all, we are also working towards peace processes through community and grassroots dialogues. And this is where we just had our recent stakeholders dialogue with the theme, No Return to War and Dialogue for Peace. So all this we do because we want to ensure that South Sudan goes back to the path of peace, so that people can start rebuilding their lives, and then we cannot be having more of this gender-based violence.
Now, Ambassador, your visit to South Sudan has come at a time when the country is also experiencing violence in some parts of the country. And let's talk about the importance of returning to ceasefire. In your own view, how does peace and stability link to access to justice and the protection of human rights?
I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I was, I'm conscious we've just heard on those new headlines about new bombardments this morning, which is really sad. But very simply, it's absolutely fundamental. You can't rebuild a state. You can't put in place proper accountability or justice structures, probably proper services for your people, you know, education, health, anything really, without without stability, which means an end to the conflict here. And as I said a few moments ago, that's why our main message to the South Sudanese government is that there has to be a return to the ceasefire, because everything else flows from that. But the ingredients are there. You know, I don't want to be too pessimistic. It's, you know, there is a peace agreement which maps out the steps that need to take place. There are provisions made in that for transitional justice, which is the, you know, the process that will promote that reconciliation and healing around the country. And as I said, it's going to be a long, hard journey, but it absolutely has to happen.
Right. Thank you so much. And as we conclude this conversation, Jacqueline, collaborations between international partners and local defenders is very critical. How are you working together during this visit to strengthen that link?
I think the collaboration is very critical. There are things that we can do at the national level, and also there are policy issues at the global stage. So I think the visit of Elena is very important, given that she's in Geneva, which is the heart of human rights for the world. And we are hoping that whatever the situation and the context she has seen from here, she can take it to Geneva, and they will put more eyes on South Sudan to talk to the government to see where improvements can be done. And I think our message to her is also that peace must prevail, and we look into the international community to support efforts that can bring peace to South Sudan.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
And Ambassador, what opportunities do you see for South Sudan at this moment, and how is the United Kingdom going to support the country in realizing some of the opportunities?
Well, look, I'm glad you talk about opportunities, because every challenge is an opportunity. So there's an opportunity to get back to the peace agreement. There's an opportunity then to put in place the mechanisms that will promote justice and accountability and really embed that as part of the culture. There's an opportunity as and when South Sudan gets to elections to demonstrate that they genuinely are free and fair by, you know, creating the conditions for a really open, healthy, diverse debate about the political options. And I think there are real opportunities, as we've been discussing, particularly in this 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, to improve the quality of life for women and girls. And that's really, really important to us as the UK. You may have seen that our Foreign Secretary announced a new international initiative this week to tackle violence against women and girls internationally. And we're doing that because there can't be peace, security or prosperity without women thriving. So I think, as I was saying, those steps can be taken at national level, but they can also be taken very locally. Simple things like getting girls into school regularly, taking that critical choice between early marriage and school, helps change so much for so many people. And as the UK, we've been supporting a lot of work in that regard. We've provided around 2.5 million cash transfers to get girls back into school. Around 1 million girls have benefited from that. So it's those little steps that on their own don't add up to a solution to all of the problems, but over time we hope will contribute to what is a better future for South Sudan.
Right. Ambassador Helena Sanders and Jacqueline Asiwa, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.